The Inside Edge, your weekly deep dive into the world of the Columbus Blue Jackets.
Presented by your Greater Columbus Kia dealers and the 2020 Kia Telluride. Give it everything.
Here's Bob McGilligan and Jody Shelley.
Yes, we are back here on The Inside Edge presented by Kia. The Blue Jackets are back on the ice over at the Ohio Health Ice House this week for Training Camp 2.0. I guess is what we could call it, because the Blue Jackets are normally not having a training camp at this time of the year, but the pandemic has changed all of our lives, and the National Hockey League is getting ready to return with playoff games in early August. Jody Shelley, it has been a long time since we've done this show. It's been a long time since we went to the rink prior to Monday. Did you get a weird feeling when you were driving to Nationwide Arena, like actually getting off 670 and or going up Neal Avenue? Because it just kind of hit me when I was doing that, how long it's been since I've done what really is an everyday occurrence during the wintertime.
You know what? I didn't have any real – it didn't feel weird. It felt like training camp because it was a hot day, you know, and at camp usually – you know, the guys are usually skating in August. Camp starts in September, so it's a warm day. When I got downtown – it felt weird once I got around the arena because it was like first time I'd really been downtown in a long time. New buildings are going up, which is a great thing in Columbus, Ohio. That seems to never stop, which is awesome. But yeah, it almost felt like, are we really supposed to be at the rink? Are we really allowed to be down in here? Kind of the way we feel, I guess, anywhere we go right now. That's out of the normal for the last 4 months. So, it was great to be down there, though. It was strange. I'll agree with that. But there's a lot of excitement. I felt that once we got out of the parking garage, after we got our temperature checked, signed the waiver, found our spot where we could stand inside the ice house. We're actually allowed, I think there's allowed 15 members to be inside the ice house. We're separated from management, who's in there watching on the other side of these steel pillars. And you know, it was good. It was, but what I loved about it the most, Bob, on Monday was the excitement from the players. I wasn't sure what I was going to, you know, some days you walk in there and you're not sure what to expect. And I really had no idea what to expect from the players. Genuine excitement and enthusiasm, which you could feel off the ice from being back together. And I think being back together as a healthy group.
We always talk about being back together every training camp, every time September rolls around, but this one is different. And I wonder if that excitement was because this was different. Normally when training camp rolls around, you know, your season has ended, you've been knocked out of the playoffs. You don't have a choice. You have to wait for that camp to open so that you can get back. This time the season was ripped right out from underneath them while they were battling for a playoff spot. They were told, like the rest of us, you're going nowhere. You got to stay home. You can't see your friends. Most of them went back home. They went overseas. They went back to Canada, whatever. Now, you know, they come back. It was almost like, I got the feeling, I agree with you on Monday, there was this great energy there, and it was almost like an appreciation just to be back on the ice and to be back with your teammates. Different from a new season starting, just kind of appreciating getting back to somewhat normal life for them.
You know what? And it's so relatable because I think all of us are just looking to get back to that normal life. That's something that we're used to doing. Something there was a point there where we didn't know if we'd see guys on the ice. We didn't know what it was going to be. So credit the NHL and the players to work hard to get to this point. And you're right. I think it was the normalcy of it. I mean, listen, you can pick any sport. You can pick any, if you're in acting, if you're in business and it's your time to run the meeting, the anxiety, the thoughts, the waiting. And it's quoted for centuries, waiting is the hardest part. It is. It's the worst part of anything. And as a professional athlete, same thing. Waiting for that day to come, waiting for the notice, waiting to get the information. Now they know. Now they're at least together. I mean, Bob, we did this show in April and, you know, we did some Zoom calls with some players throughout April and into May. And you know, we've interviewed players who were by themselves in Columbus, Ohio, in their apartment. I mean, Elvis Merzlikins was by himself with his girlfriend and his dog. Everything was shut down around him, and he was in an apartment in Columbus, Ohio. So imagine from there till now yesterday where he looked excited and fired up to be on the ice getting those pucks just roasted at him at 100 miles an hour. you were talking or Monday about the high speed pucks, but you know, yeah. So the normal part of life is probably their biggest excitement. And just think about it, anywhere in life right now where you can get back to doing what you were doing pre-pandemic, you'd be pretty fired up to see some people.
And when you look at how the National Hockey League got here, remember, it was the NHL that had the first plan to return to play. Now, they really didn't get going with it until the other leagues had kind of caught up a little bit. But as we found out here in the last couple of weeks, there's a good reason for that, because I think what they did here was it's a great thing for everybody involved in the sport. Not only did the National Hockey League and the Players Association come to terms with a way to get back on the ice and play the playoff games, but they actually negotiated an extension of the collective bargaining agreement. For the players, it means their escrow costs are going to stay down. The salary cap is going to stay flat, where it very well could have dropped based upon the way the formula goes. And, you know, for the league, there is some harmony and there is stability for now the next 6 years, which, you know, actually I think is pretty impressive that they were able to get all this done. In the worst of times, they came up with what I hope for both sides is one of the best of the agreements.
Yeah, and the diligence, the attention to detail that these guys took care of. I mean, when they released, I think it was right around 100 pages, maybe high 80 pages of the mandate, the rules, how this was going to work for the pandemic. Every question you asked was answered in that transcript. So they did a wonderful job with that. And then, of course, the collective bargaining agreement. We were part of that 2004, 2005, where that season was lost. And, you know, it looked like the union and the players were, you know, never going to be able to sit down at negotiating table. In 2013, they worked something else out. They improved on things, kept the salary cap. And then now to see them do this, it's progress that you would hope to happen, especially in this time when things are way out of everyone's control. People are having tough times with everything in the day-to-day life. You don't want to see professional athletes bickering over collective bargaining agreement. I think the players and the owners and the league understood that and took care of business. And you know, when you think of the health of the game, when you think of the health of the league and the players, everyone's aware of what's happening. Everyone's aware of the impact. I think the fear of not knowing what the landscape in the future is going to look like helped these guys really get to the table and get it done. So good for them to take advantage of the time, and good for them to take advantage of this time since they were at the table trying to figure out the pandemic to improve. And it sounds like both sides are happy for the time being.
You're right. Both sides do seem to be happy, and I think the players will be happy once they get through this camp and they get into the bubble. They figure out what the bubble is going to be like in Toronto, and then they actually start to play games. There will be an exhibition game against the Boston Bruins on July the 30th, the series against the Toronto Maple Leafs to play your way into the Stanley Cup playoffs, the regular Stanley Cup playoff round of 16. That series will begin on August 2nd. Coming up next, we're going to talk with John Tortorella, Blue Jackets head coach. He is running his team through camp right now, getting them ready for all of this. And oh, by the way, earlier today, he was named as a finalist for the Jack Adams Award. That is the NHL Coach of the Year, an award he won back in 2017 with the Blue Jackets. The other two finalists are Bruce Cassidy of Boston and Elaine Vigneault of Philadelphia. I voted for Torts. It should be a slam dunk for him with the way this season has gone. We'll talk to him about that and more next on the Inside Edge, presented by Kia, here on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge here on 97.1 The Fan. You know, while the Blue Jackets are having this training camp, you can catch daily live streams of practice and scrimmages with Jackets TV Daily, presented by Ohio Health. As the team gets ready for the postseason, Jackets TV Daily is the place for you to get the latest news and updates. Check out BlueJackets.com/as1 for complete details. Right now, I'd like to welcome in the head coach of your Columbus Blue Jackets, John Tortorella. Well, Torch, first of all, it was announced earlier today that you are once again a finalist for the Jack Adams Award, along with Bruce Cassidy and Elaine Vigneault. So I would like to wish you congratulations on that. It's a job well done this year with the team that you had, and it's a well-deserved honor. And I know you don't like to talk about yourself, and that's why I started with it today.
Yeah, but you know what, Bobby? That is a staff/team award. It's not – It's not an individual award by any means. I'll tell you right now, as I've gotten to know my staff better, I have delegated more and more to them. And let's face it, it comes down to your hockey club. It comes down to two pretty good goalies, too, that we've had here that we thought we were a little nervous about when the season started. So, listen, it's an honor to be mentioned in it, but that's a team-type slash staff award. Always has been.
Fifth time that you've been a finalist for this award. And, of course, you won it twice, once with Tampa and once here with the Blue Jackets a couple of years ago. How much would you like to win it for what you just said, for it being a staff award? And listen, you guys played the majority of this season with an American Hockey League roster, being without some of your – or most of your top players the whole way along. What would it mean to you and your staff just to get that?
You know, I forget where what year it was that we won it when I was in, a couple of years ago with Columbus. And, you know, we go to that ceremony and – I was proud of our organization. I think it's such an important thing for an organization when you start getting mentioned in these things here. I think Nick received a leadership award that year. And I know Nick felt the same thing. It's not individual. It's not the person. Yeah, your name, I guess, is out there. But it just shows you where your organization is growing to. And, yeah, win it for me? No, I don't care about that. But for an organization, I think it shines a little bit of a light that maybe we're going down the right road here and doing things the right way.
Yeah, but let's be honest about this, Torch. You lost two marquee players last summer to free agency, and then you had to play without Cam Atkinson most of the year, Oliver Bjorkstrand for a couple of different stretches. You had guys dropping like flies each and every day. At the beginning of the season, everybody counted you out. I know that's the way you love the coach. It's us against the world. But for all of the people that thought that the Blue Jackets were going to have to reset this year, here you are in the postseason for a fourth straight year.
Yeah. And again, I go back to the team. I'm proud of the team. It is we've had two crazy years. You know, you've been around it. You're front and center with us here. Some of the stuff that was going on with Brett and Bob last year, and then everybody leaving during the summer. And then we did. We got nailed with some injuries. But I think it's really – it's tightened us up. There's a tremendous trust between one another now, coaching staff and players, players amongst players, coaches amongst coaches. So it's a nice thing to be around here. I hope it helps us. That type of camaraderie, that type of working through stuff is going to help us through a crazy thing we're going to go through here in this tournament coming up. And we're looking forward to it, honored to be part of it, and hopefully some of the stuff we've gone through will help us.
Torch, we've all gone through some real strange times the last 4 months, and we get a lot of questions about you when we speak to people in the community and throughout the league. How are you doing, and where are you at, and your approach to this camp? I mean, I find that a lot of us have reflected, watched past games, thought about moments, and tried to be better in different areas. Where are you at with your approach to this camp and where you are in your career right now?
Yeah, the camp itself, Jody, you know, I just met with Nelson, our head physiologist, strength coach, however you want to coin him. This is the first time, Jody, these players have skated 2 days in a row since March 12th. So we've put them through the paces 2 days in a row. We met, showed me the numbers as far as where they're at. They've put a lot of effort into those 2 days. So we're going to back off a little bit here today. And I answer the question this way because I'm having conversations with the players, and it goes back to what I said about trusting them. As far as what can we do today? Can we push hard? I asked them before yesterday's practice, can we push a little bit harder? They wanted more. And that's how I'm kind of running this camp, Jody. Not like when we come in September. Shut your mouths, get through it. I'm going to grind you. Get through it mentally, physically, and all that. We're having conversations as far as what is the best thing to do each and every day. So that's where it's been kind of neat for me in this situation is it's a trust factor, and we're doing it together as far as how we approach each and every day. I hope that answers your question.
It does, but I'm going to expand that because, I mean, the tools you have now, like Nelson, I mean, that's an asset that you might not have used even if he was there 5 or 6 years ago or 10 years ago. I mean, this speaks to where you're evolving and understanding. These are important conversations within the staff. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, yeah. I guess you're asking me, am I evolving as a coach?
And, well, I know you are. I think we all are. But I think that there's tools now that are really in your favor, aren't there?
Yes. Yeah. Well, it's just such a different game from when you played to where we're at now, and the things that the players have at their fingertips, the people surrounding them to condition them. I'll be honest with you, I miss a little bit of maybe Jody Shelley not coming into camp in the best shape possible and going after him right away when camp starts and all the stuff that comes with that. Now you got guys they have so many things that they have that there's no excuse not to be ready. And it's a little bit for me, I don't want to lose some of the old school thinking and the old school thoughts I have and convictions that I have, but I also have to open my eyes and understand that there are so many other things that you can blend in with this. And so it's an everyday thing for me to make sure I stay on top of that and not get locked into just old school. But I'm not losing old school. I'm not going to, because I think that's a very important part of being successful in this league. But I also have to learn about some of the other things.
Yeah, you won't lose that old school, Torts. We know that. I want to say, though, I want to ask you, where are the players at? Because, I mean, we've been asked a lot, how long will it take for them to get conditioned? And I've said 2 or 3 weeks, but are you impressed? Are they a little bit below where they're at after a couple of days in camp? Are you impressed with their conditioning, with what they've had to deal with and try to stay in condition?
Yeah. The first practice, especially, you know, they were full of juice. They're all back together.
Yeah.
I think the adrenaline was flowing and that was just a great practice. The execution was really good. Yesterday, it was a little bit sloppier to be expected. But the overall conditioning level, it's really good. Now, remember, a lot of these guys, probably 3/4 of the team, the past week and a half, 2 weeks, have been in these small groups and small numbers. And Brad Larson, Brad Shaw, and Kenny McCutton have done a terrific job as far as conditioning them. And so that's really helped us. What was that, phase 2, I guess that was called?
Yeah, I think you're in 3 now.
Yeah, we're in 3 now. So that really helps. So I'm really happy where we're at here now. We're going to have one more good practice here today. I'm going to back off a little bit of the conditioning because of just talking to Nelson and the players. And then we're going to start getting to some scrimmages, start getting some special teams and some of the team concept stuff as we go through the next few days after.
We're talking with Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella, and we'll continue to do that right after this as the Inside Edge presented by Kia continues on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by Kia. We are talking with Blue Jackets head coach John Tortorella.
Torch, these practices at Nationwide Arena, this is similar to what you always do in training camps. But have you thought, or I know you have thought, but what have you thought about once you move to that next phase and you're actually in the bubble? What is that going to be like mentally for you, for your team? The playoff series that you're going to start with, the play-in series, is going to be almost every day. It's going to be back to the American Hockey League. You're going to be playing every time you turn around here. What are those challenges? How do you see those challenges for your team?
I have no idea. I don't know how it's going to be when we go to the Hub City. I don't know. We got to learn. We're testing a certain way now. We may be tested in a different way there. What is the hotel going to be like? The downtime. What can you do on downtime? We're not staying at the main hotel. I think the top 5 teams are staying there. There's a lot of interactive things and areas that they can go to stay busy, but also keeping social distancing. We may have to shuttle over there to do some things. So all this stuff, and I'm anxious to see, not only for me, but for the players, how they react. Let's say we play our first game, our first exhibition game with no people, and I'm glad we at least have one. What's it going to be like? Am I going to hear myself through the whole building yelling at the team during the game because there's no people in the building?
I hope so.
But no, really, some of those things, it's going to be totally different, but it's exciting to me, and I know the players have talked about it. that this is the first time we're doing this, and we're the ones that are going to be doing it. And we have, you know, we're one of those 12 teams in the East that are able to do this. And we need to look at this as an opportunity. And the bottom line is, and the first thing I said to the team in our first meeting when we came together, no pissing and moaning. Things are going to be adjusted. Half hour here, we may have to change it up here because the league said, no, we can't do this. Or they may have to change some things, the league himself. We take it. This is what you want us to do? Okay, we're going to attack that. We need to take our marching orders, no matter what they are and no matter how many different distractions come our way, and handle it the proper way. I think that's going to give you the best chance to win in this tournament.
And speaking of winning in this tournament, everybody's going into it with the same mindset that their teams are healthy for the first time. I mean, you have the healthiest team that you've had since probably the first day of training camp. Josh Anderson's the only big name that's out of your camp right now. But wouldn't you agree every team's going into this thinking, we're healthy, we've got our horses, we've got a chance here?
Oh, absolutely. That's what's neat about it for me, is that because none of the players, none of the organizations have been involved in this type of situation, everybody, it's just wide open. Yeah, they had to seed the teams. You know, they had to do it somehow and seed the teams. But for me, seedings don't matter, because there are so many unknowns coming into these games, and how teams are going to react and how they handle the situations is going to be so important. So this thing's wide open. And, we play the second, so we get to see it. I think it's Carolina and the Rangers play early on the first game, and we get to see some of the stuff. And we're going to take it day by day, distraction by distraction, because there are going to be distractions, and that's how we have to handle it. Take it one at a time and attack it.
Isn't that, Torts, I mean, isn't that one of your biggest challenges as a leader? And it sounds like you've already planted that seed, that no moaning, no complaining, but the mental toughness, the psychology behind this to say, okay, yeah, you know what? Let's be honest. It's summer. Yeah. You're not used to this. No. Your families are not going to be there. You need guys, you, Nick, the leadership group, to have these guys buy in every single day, because there's going to be moments where guys are going to drift. That's going to be your toughest task, isn't it?
There's no question. And Jody, with such a young team, it's the downtime that they need to be safe. Our players need to be smart about this, as far as not stepping out of bounds, as far as putting themselves in the spot where maybe something happens with this virus and it's brought into our room. So that health is the most important thing. But when in our meeting, we talked about this also. We know where we're at. We know why we're here, why we're playing in the summer. It's a worldwide health issue here. Respect it. But we're not going to get into a situation to have a bunch of drama and talk about it every day. Handle this. We know how we have to handle it. Handle it like a pro. And keep each other in check. I've asked them to make sure, you know, because, you know, as coaches, Jody, we want it A, B, C, D. We want it all in order. It's not going to happen that way. Things are going to change on us. If they catch us complaining and pissing and moaning about stuff, they need to keep us in check also. So we've asked each other, let's do this as a group. And I think we've had a couple of years of practice of handling some of the things and showing some resiliency as a team that I think this is right in our wheelhouse right now.
Have you talked to anybody that you know about isolation or mental toughness or the psychology behind this?
No, I'm going with my stomach. I am. I'm just going to go with my stomach. I know players are really, really worried once we get on the plane and go to the Hub City, because we're gone. You know, we could be gone for over 2 months, and I know. And they should think about their family. I know that's something that's going to be something we have to respect and also help them through. I changed my schedule around so I can give them that night off before we leave, so they can have dinner and spend the evening with their family before we take off for Toronto. That's the thing that I with some of the guys here, that I need to respect and help them through. And we're going to learn, you know, we're going to learn as we go through this. This is uncharted waters, and we're going to learn and hopefully be better people when it's all said and done.
I got to ask you, Torts.
It'll be a great experience.
Yeah.
Yeah. Really looking forward to it.
I want to ask you too. I mean, you, when it comes to the virus, I mean, you're in a different class. You're in the more vulnerable class, I guess you would say, by age.
What are you trying to say, Bobby?
I'm trying to say you're an old guy here.
You're trying to say I'm old?
Well, in the sense of how you're classified for the virus.
I'll still kick your ass, though, no matter how old I am.
Torch, you look great. You look healthy. Come on,
I was gonna ask you if you picked up so much immunity from all those years working in barns and all that stuff, if you're not worried about catching anything.
You know what's weird, Bobby? I have spent the past 4 months really talking to nobody. I mean, you talk about social distancing. My wife and I social distance, and I've enjoyed it. You know how it goes with me. I've really enjoyed it. We've been very busy with other parts of our life. I've gone from talking to no one to screaming at everybody out here for the past 2 days. So it's been quite an adjustment here, but I'm not worried about that, Bobby. I'm not. We've talked as a family. We are very fortunate, our family, that we have the resources to be able to take care of ourselves through all this. When I see and watch the news every day, these poor souls that are just struggling, they're out of work and they're trying to get tested. They're trying to get food. We have gone on to other things in our life the past 4 months, tried to help out where we can, where other people need help. When I leave my family, I'm just going to try to be smart about it and try to coach this hockey club.
Well, I'm not worried about you once you get to the hotel. I know you become a ghost when you get there anyway. I never see you.
Good. Let's keep it that way.
When will you get into the real – will it be once you get in the bubble, will you really start the, you know, practicing toward and this series that, in particular?
Yeah, that's when the tape work will start. We have our tape ready. That's when the tape work will start. We'll start working on special teams tomorrow a little bit in some scrimmage games. And we've gotten into some of our concept, Bobby, as far as what we need to do against Toronto. It's not really going to change. You know how it works with us. It's going to be about us. We're not going to make a lot of adjustments versus Toronto, a team we truly respect, though, as far as the skill that they have. So when the bubble, that's when a lot of tape work will come, and that's when we'll really start trying to fine-tune how we're going to go about it.
We appreciate your time, Torts. I could just visualize you in the bubble. I mean, you're watching Netflix, or I don't know what you do to kill your time, but enjoy. We hope to talk to you there.
Absolutely, boys. Great talking to you.
That is Blue Jackets head coach and Jack Adams Award finalist John Tortorella. Hey, don't miss your chance to be a part of the excitement when Blue Jackets hockey returns to Nationwide Arena. Ticket plans are now available and guarantee flexible scheduling and payment options. For more information, text TICKET to 37664. The Inside Edge presented by Kia continues right after this on 97.1 The Fan. Welcome back to the Inside Edge presented by Kia. Right now is the time to come together as one and show your support by purchasing the Blue Jackets official postseason shirt. Every order will also receive a commemorative poster and playoff pin, with proceeds benefiting the Columbus Blue Jackets Foundation and their commitment to removing barriers to the game of hockey. Get yours today at asone.givesmart.com. Okay, Jody, time to dissect the roster here a little bit as the Blue Jackets are preparing to take on the Toronto Maple Leafs in their play-in series.
Let's just start in the goal and work out. And you've got two goaltenders that both got new contracts during these last couple of months. Jonas Korpisalo started the year, earned a spot in the NHL All-Star game. Unfortunately, he got hurt the game before he got announced as to making the All-Star game. Elvis Merzlikins started the season terribly, 0-7, and all of a sudden had to come in and take over for Korpisalo. And when he did, when he was the man, he certainly was the man, and came in and established himself in the National Hockey League. Now, again, we talked about healthy players earlier in the show. Both are healthy. Both are ready to go. And with the Blue Jackets, I think this is a big strength of theirs, because if one guy's not going, you can easily put the other guy in and make that switch. You know, Toronto's got Frederik Andersen. He's been really good at times, and he struggled at times based on the defense in front of him. You know, their options are more limited, I think, than the Blue Jackets are, who they can go with 1 or 1A.
Well, they have Jack Campbell, who they got from, who was a big prospect out of L.A., but I agree. It's not the same. The Blue Jackets, I think they have a 1 and 2 in Toronto. And we have here in Columbus, it's a one, and one triple A. I mean, it's like they're the same thing. It's such a healthy competition. You need two goalies to win a Stanley Cup.
You cannot have a goalie that gets the yips who has no one to replace them. We've seen it, Bob, and then we, you know, some days I think, oh, it's, you need the experienced netminder. It's proven that you don't. And, you know, Matt Murray stepped in. Who was Matt Murray? Well, he's a two-time Stanley Cup champion. And how about when he got hurt and Fleury jumped in? He's a proven guy, but he was on the back burner. And he did unbelievable things, playing like he had something to prove. And that is what you have here with Korpisalo and Merzlikins, is two guys that have a lot to prove. I think that's dangerous. So it's good for the Blue Jackets. Also, when you look at Holtby and Grubauer a couple of years ago, Grubauer had the job, and then Holtby was injured and we're trying to work his way back. Well, they needed Holtby now, and he was rested and ready to go, and he took them all the way to the Stanley Cup, the Capitals. So Blue Jackets were front row for both of those goaltenders. I think that when you look at this position and you go back to last year, which I love to do, the Tampa Bay series, Game one, the Jackets are down 3-0. Bobrovsky makes three unbelievable saves after they're down 3-0. And that keeps his team in it. And you're thinking at that point, all right, nice job, 3-0. You know, this is already – they've already scored a shorthanded goal in the first 5 minutes Tampa has. This is – they're just going to stomp the Blue Jackets. When you go back and look at that, those key saves at key moments – and I think that's what Elvis has learned here in this season with John Tortorella and the Blue Jackets is, and because Torts had a conversation with him, you don't have to go out there and be the hero. You have to go out there and give your team a chance to win. So the mentality of the Blue Jackets goalies is you're not the knight riding in on the horse to save the day. You are the guy, you're a part of the team, you're a key part of the team, but when you're called upon, you just need to make the save, make the routine save, slow the play down, keep the puck out of the net so the Blue Jackets can gain momentum. So it starts there. I love that you're starting there because that is the key. And everyone's asking Torts. And why would you ask Torts? He's not going to tell you 12 hours before the game. He's not going to tell you an hour before the game who's starting. Here we are 3 weeks before, or almost 3 weeks before the opening game. Yeah, he's not going to tell you his goaltender. So I think you know, it's interesting. A week ago, I would have said start Korpisalo because he's been in the locker room. He's got so much trust and respect from his teammates. Go with Korpisalo because he's the guy, but put him on a very short leash. I still believe that, but I also believe, I strongly believe that in the next 2.5-3 weeks, this is going to shake itself out. You're going to see, I'm not sure, you know, there's a lot that goes on with goaltenders, groins, hips, knees. You know, just getting ready for this. I think whoever's feeling the best and showing the best should start game one.
Let's take a step out to the blue line. This blue line is healthy once again. I mean, look at this defense. There are 8 guys in this camp, and Seth Jones, Zach Werenski are going to be on the top pair. David Savard and Vladislav Gavrikov are going to be on the second pair. Who's going to be on the third pair? Ryan Murray and blank. It can be Dean Kukin. It can be Marcus Nuttavaara. And Scott Harrington is there as well. I mean, this is as deep as this group has been. With a healthy Seth Jones, you're legit as a defensive unit, no doubt. And having Ryan Murray being able to play and move the puck, we've seen what a difference it is when he is healthy. And I don't want to discount Dean Kukin because – when Kukes got put into some really key situations this year, he excelled.
Yeah, and this guy, he plays just like his personality. I mean, he is a quiet guy. He just goes about and does his work, doesn't say really any extra words to anyone, and the way he plays is quiet. You can watch him, watch a game, and all of a sudden notice his speed. He seemed to really – gain confidence and use his speed through the middle of the ice before he got hurt. He was up on the play more and getting scoring chances. He's a big guy. I think he's a smart guy back there. You know, Brad Shaw is a defensive core coach. He's such an intelligent man. The way he sees the game and breaks down the defensive zone. I think that Kukin is a guy who's really excelled with that tutelage from Brad Shaw. So, you know, yes, Monday the pairs were Kukin and Murray was the third pair. Great to see Ryan Murray out there. So, yeah, that's – and, you know, when you walk into camp as Nuttavaara and Harrington, let's say, you don't plan on being on that fourth pair. I mean, you plan on being in the top six ready to play. So the competition is there. it's Kukin's job to hold on to. It's Ryan Murray's job to stay healthy, of course, and the rest of the guys. But it just makes for you're right. The depth of the D is a key part of this team. The people who are analyzing this series in Toronto are saying the high offense and the power play of the Toronto Maple Leafs versus the defensive core of the Blue Jackets. And there's an argument for that, but I still believe the Blue Jackets are extremely hard to play against because their D are such good skaters. Ryan Murray, great first pass guy. He gets the puck out of the zone, but he can skate. He made some unbelievable plays on goals this year. I think one of Riley Nash's goals was due to Ryan Murray.
That was that Vancouver game where they came back in the final 7.5 minutes.
Exactly. Unbelievable play by Ryan Murray. But, I mean, Werenski up in the play as a rover, as that guy that can skate and join the rush or drive the rush. Seth Jones does the same thing. It's hard as a forward trying to defend when you have mobile defense like the Blue Jackets. Defense is – if you have the puck, you don't have to worry about defense. I think that's the way the Blue Jackets play. They fight defensively to get the puck back as quick as they can so they can get their thoroughbreds, those defensive players, up and driving the offensive.
Hey, let's talk about the forwards. There were a lot of people that were surprised that as the groups were divided, and the first group is the playing group, the second group is the Black Aces or the reserves, whatever you want to refer to them as. But Nathan Gerby and Kevin Stenlund, two guys that spent a lot of time here this year doing a lot of good things, wound up in the second grouping at the start of this camp. We all know John Tortorella by now and that groups don't matter. It doesn't matter. You can be in a group one day and another group the next day. Not a big deal. In fact, he does it to create competition many times. But in the first group is a healthy Alexander Texier and Liam Foudy, who came in and played two games during the regular season from the Ontario Hockey League. He's a former first-round pick. I'm not surprised at all he's in that first group because John Tortorella was in love with him in the two games that he played. During the regular season, he picked up an assist in Buffalo in his second game. And when I played this on my podcast on CBJ and 30 on Monday, I had that went out and dug out that quote after that game at Buffalo where Torch said, we're going to miss him because he has to go back. I mean, he has a lot of respect for this kid. And I think what he likes the most, Jody, is he likes his speed, loves his speed, loves the way he handles the puck, and he knows he can put the puck in the back of the net.
I mean, speed is such a big factor in today's NHL. When you can push the defenseman back, maybe stretch out the opposition's players to create those passing lanes and those seams through the neutral zone, speed does that. And he's got a threat with the puck on the attack. So, and you know, John Tortorella loves doing these things, bringing in a young guy, creating that, you know, never comfortable room where, you know, create some surprises. No one's ever just sitting in their stall thinking, oh, this is so cozy in here. Oh, I feel good. You know, Gerby was not here to start the year. I thought he did some great things when he was here. Stenlund was not here to start the year. He did some great things when called upon. Those guys, I know Torch probably say, don't read into it too much. I think he did have that quote on Monday. But there's a lot to read into it if you're a player. You're not happy. Gerby's not happy. It's a bruise on your ego. But once you get out there and skate and realize you can work your way back in, I would say he's leading. The value of him right now is he's leading the extras with positive and just hard work. That's what he is. So you need to have that in the second group. I think that's why he's there to start. And I bet you Torch had that conversation with him. Foudy is a player with speed who comes in. He gets slotted there. The kid hasn't stopped smiling since we first saw him this season from junior. I mean, he traveled, I don't know how many miles he traveled to play three games or whatever it was. He had to go back and forth and back and forth. And, you know, there's just some enthusiasm there. And as a veteran, when you see that, you're like, oh, okay. And then Stenlund would be the guy that would be okay. You know, you did some great things. You got some power play time, but get to work. You got to get working. So this is where they see them on their depth chart. They're knocking on the door in the extra group. And the other guy is Shore, Devin Shore. He's a great acquisition. He comes in here. He's a veteran guy that understands how to play in these types of scenarios. So, yeah, he can take faceoffs. So, it'll be interesting to see how it plays out. But, yeah, I like Foudy in that that position. He creates he can create some good things with this organization. And, when, you know, it just puts everybody on alert. I love it.
And Texier – And again, he goes in the same mold as Liam Foudy. He's a guy that can shoot the puck and find the back of the net. And you've got to score to win. And they're going to need that skill and that talent. And actually, when camp opened on Monday, what a role that he had on the right wing along with Oliver Bjorkstrand and Pierre-Luc Dubois. Anywhere Dubois is slotted is considered to be the top line. So you've got Texier playing with those two guys. And when we talked at camp on Monday, you really put that entire line into perspective, the fact that not only are they three very talented hockey players, but they're three guys that spend a lot of time around each other. They've become good friends, and that chemistry could pay off.
Yeah, I think they're probably the three tightest guys on this roster. I know Texier gravitated towards Dubois, the age, the experience, and the language. They both speak French, so that was nice. Different brand of French, France and French-Canadian in Dubois, but that's fine. They communicate and they have a connection there. And then Bjorkstrand, him and Dubois have been chumming around for since Dubois got here, so that's nice. I like the dynamic of those three. I think Texier, there's something about that guy's game. He is one of my favorites coming into this camp just because his effort. He's a guy who he's confident. I know he's confident. We've had conversations and I've given you examples of how confident he is in his ability. He does everything hard and right. And, you know, if you have a young son or daughter that's playing hockey, this kid is a great example of how you attack the puck, or when you get the puck, you can create and hold on and create space. He would be a fun guy to play with, and look for him to be a big factor, especially in this first series against Toronto.
You know, and either of those guys, he's playing on that line. If he slips, Cam Atkinson can move right into that role. Atkinson started the week with Alexander Wenberg on his wing, along with Gus Nyquist on the other side. You know, same thing we're talking about Foudy. Foudy starts the camp slotted on the fourth line, but you talked about guys being put on alert. I mean, the guys that are in group number one that play on that wing or even play center, because he could play in the middle if they wanted him to. If this kid's gone and you're not, he's going to pass you by pretty quick.
Oh yeah. That's the way Torts works. He goes with the hot hand or it's minute by minute. If you have a bad shift, guess what? Someone's jumping in your spot. If you have a responsibility that's been asked of you and you go out there and decide not to do it or dog it, someone else is jumping in. So it's all, and you watch him in practice the past couple of days. He's just observing. He's involved, but he's observing a lot to see body language of the veterans mostly, I think. He's watching the veteran players to see how they react, who they're playing with, how they're approaching the first couple of days of camp, and what he needs to say or do to make sure they're on point at the right time here in early August.
And a good thing about these veterans is they've been with him long enough to understand all of that too, right? I mean, it's not like the first year he was here and everybody's trying to figure it out. They know.
Yeah, they might be pushing his buttons a little bit too. Who knows? I mean, I think there's any dynamic where you have a leader and a student or someone who's filling a role or growing it within a role within your system, you know, see a little bit of testing once in a while. That's a healthy thing. I think it keeps everybody sharp.
Competition, you know, you alluded to this early on, he kept a sense of competition through those little puzzles, the weekly puzzles that he had with his players, kept them competing against one another. That is one of the biggest pluses, don't you think, of John Tortorella, the way that he can create almost a sense of urgency out of nothing for his players to have them standing ready and ready to go at any minute.
He understands them. I love that. He understands the mental aspect of this game. And I think that's what he's really, really good at. And we know his training camp, that's what it's for. It's a mental test. We all know these guys are in shape. But who's going to quit when your legs are ready to explode because you have to do six more laps around the rink? Nobody's going to quit. They push each other. They help each other. Those competitive things. He knows, and the greatest thing is he knows exactly what he's gotten a lot of these guys, and he's going to push them and make them better players and people, whether they know it or not.